The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley. We'll be joined by many guests throughout today's show. We will start in Germany, the new season kicking off today, Bayern Munich against Schalke. And what a game this would turn out to be. Well, not if you're a Schalke fan. Craig, I know you don't even want to do these highlights, but we'll do them quickly. Just take people through exactly what happened. Serge Gnabry with the early goal.
Well, he started off where he finished off, which is great for him. Fantastic form. We talked about the loss of Thiago, but the ability of Kimmich to pick passes over the top was equally as good. It wasn't a brilliant ball, but it was good enough. Brilliant touch from Gnabry. His first touch to set it up, then a little flick, and the finish was fantastic.
It was all Bayern. Absolutely all the opportunities throughout this game were for the defending champions. They'd make it 2-0 here. Thomas Müller laying off to Goretzka.
Yeah, well, it's Müller realises that there's too many blue jerseys back. His back's facing the goal. And you can see there's nobody on the edge of the box for Schalke. And all Goretzka has to do really is pick his corner.
Then, on the half-hour mark, Lewandowski wins a penalty.
Actually, there are a couple of chances before that that were very unlike him. He was hesitant, but there was no doubt it's a penalty kick. There's clear contact down the back of the Achilles. And no surprise, Mr. Lewandowski himself was to step up and, well, only 54 to go to match last season.
So maybe at half-time, David Wagner could get his team together. They could maybe come out and put a bit of a fight up. Well, they have a throw-in. This is 60 seconds into the second half.
Yeah, I think David Wagner said, go out and just be as shambolic as you were in the first half.
And it was from that throw-in the ball would eventually find its way through to Leroy Sané, poor defending here, and he would lay it off to Gnabry to make it 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the basics here are just scarily bad. As you said, from your own throw-in, Sané uses his pace to very well, but then for Gnabry it's a simple tap-in.
And then, very similar, Sané through.
Listen, how can you play against this Bayern team and leave so much space in behind for little balls to be chipped over the top, for the diagonal runs, for the pace, for people making deep, late runs? It's just scarily bad. That being said, good debut for Sané, good team to play against Schalke, nice and comfortable.
Now, if you want an example of how easy this was, look at the Rabona here.
Yeah, they were just
from Lewandowski.
Listen, this is just practice match, training ground stuff at this point. There you go. Who cares? This team are hopeless. We're going to hammer them anyway. Keeper has a stinker as well. It's just horrendous.
And once again, it's the long ball through to Sané that proves effective. This time, Sané goes all alone. Lovely finish.
Well, he uses his pace, but it's a straight ball. A straight ball right through the middle of the back four. I mean, he could make it up. And Leroy Sané, all he has to do is compose himself, and that he does.
And then with 9 minutes to go, a special moment for 17-year-old Musiala, who would make it 8-0 to Bayern Munich.
Yeah, it was a great allowing of the game to go on by the referee. And a fantastic finish from the youngster, and a great day all round for Bayern.
Yeah, indeed. A perfect way to start the defence of their title. 21 shots, 11 of them on target. Craig, that was men against boys.
look, you know, there'll be people jumping on Bayern Munich here. Continued where they finished off, no doubt about it. But if you're Schalke, right, you know you're going in to the Lions' Den here, right? You can't play set up the way they set up, right? We saw Bayern Munich Barcelona leave two players up against Bayern Munich in the Champions League and got absolutely marmalised in the middle of the park. Mm. So you can't go into a game here, away from home, and let Joshua Kimmich and Goretzka so much time and space to boss the game. And on top of that, you've got a high line for balls to be clipped over the top, for diagonal runs, people coming in off the touchline, making runs inside, spinning in behind. To do that is just crazy. We should have been sat here, and I'm being serious now, we should have been sat here talking about Bayern Munich in double figures. Now, that's a disgrace. That's an embarrassment. That's what Schalke... In fact, they weren't even that good. They were an absolute embarrassment today because we should have been sat here if Dortmund had really had their shooting boots on at Bayern, we should have been talking about 11, 12 goals at least. And I'm sorry, as a former professional, that is as good as Bayern are, that's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
I suppose you could argue Bayern can only beat the team that's put out in front of them. Serge Gnabry with a hat-trick today. And obviously this is a player who has just been on the perfect trajectory over the last 12 months.
Yeah, this is no slight on Bayern Munich. Listen, we knew this. We thought this was going to be an easy game. But we didn't think it was going to be this easy. We thought Schalke might shut up shop a little bit and eventually they'd be broken down. It would be 3 or 4. But when you allow players like this... When you allow the Müllers and the Lewandowski and the Sané making his debut and the Gnabry, who has just propelled himself in the last couple of years to a whole new level, when you allow them the time and the space to operate that Schalke allow them, then you're going to get battered. And I only look at it from the perspective as a professional who has played against teams at times that have been better than us. And so you have to adapt. Mm. You have to adapt. And it might be against your philosophy, but you've got to adapt your style to try and combat the clear difference in quality that Bayern had. And that is my criticism, that Schalke were embarrassingly poor at trying to do that.
It's interesting, when we've talked before about teams absolutely demolishing or marmalising opponents in the past, did they take it too far, like the Rabona from Lewandowski?
No.
Did you mind that? Is that not showboating? Like, I know you've had problems with Neymar doing that in the past of PSG. Is that disrespecting your opponent?
No. I just think it was something... It was easier for him to do if it was me. And I think we saw Hansi Flick on the sidelines. Hansi Flick, even at 3-4-0, when they missed a chance, was jamming the water bottle down.
Yeah.
He demands that there's no... sloppiness. We talk about Liverpool this season, how they finished the season. They were sloppy against Leeds at the start. They lost in the Community Shield. Is Klopp going to see a sloppiness from Liverpool because they were so good last year? And I think Hansi Flick, it seems to me, is looking at this team and saying, listen, I want more.
Right.
I don't care if it's 11 or 12 or 13 or 14 in this game. I want to put a marker down. So I don't think there was any problem about taking the foot off the gas. Schalke just had to be better, and they weren't. I mean, from a professional outfit, it was shockingly bad.
Well, Serge Gnabry will be taking the match ball home with him tonight. This is what he had to say after the game.
Serge Gnabry, what a way to come back into the Bundesliga season. How do you describe it?
I'm very happy. You can say it was a perfect start for us. I don't think anyone expected us to win 8-0, but yeah, in the end, we're very happy about it. We came out strong after having a short break, and yeah, we enjoyed the game today.
Can you remember the last time that you scored a hat-trick? You scored 4 for Bayern against Tottenham last season, but a hat-trick? When was the last time you did that?
I actually don't remember. I think in the national team. But obviously that's another competition, and I think it was my first Bundesliga hat-trick. So I'm very delighted to have finally done it. And yeah, thank you to the assist from Leroy.
And one assist from Josh Kimmich as well, who you've got a very close relationship with. He describes the team as being like brothers. What is Josh Kimmich to you? Can you describe your relationship?
I'm a very, very close friend. We know each other since we've been 12 years old, and I think it shows also on the pitch, but off the pitch we spend a lot of time together. And yeah, he's a guy that I can speak about everything. We have mutual respect for each other, and yeah, it's a very, very good friendship.
You've scored 3 tonight, but we have to talk about that assist from Robert Lewandowski. I mean, Thomas Müller called him Robert Lewandowski before. I've seen somebody call him Rabona Lewandowski now. What did you make of that?
Yeah, crazy assist. Very, very nice. I was a bit angry because he didn't shoot himself. I told him that at halftime because he took too long in the first half. But yeah, I think in the end it was for the better, and yeah, it was a very nice goal.
How do you feel physically after that? Because you've not even played a friendly since the Champions League final. Percentage-wise, how are you feeling?
I can't tell exactly, to be fair. All I know is that we all gave our best for the time we were on the pitch. Obviously, after being up quite high, so it's normal that you change the team. But yeah, I think with every game, there comes more strength, more physicality, and the season is going to be long, but we're looking forward to it.
Do you think there's enough players in the squad to get through this? Because you've got to face 27 midweek games if you were to go and go all the way and win a treble again.
Yeah, that's a question you would have to ask the people who are responsible for it.
Serge Gnabry then speaking after the game. Let's right now go to Jurgen Klinsmann, discuss Bayern Munich's opening 8-0 victory over Schalke. This was pretty impressive, Jurgen, from the defending champions.
Oh, it's very, very impressive. But basically, the game was over after the second goal. You know, you could see it in the body language of the Schalke players that they didn't believe in getting anything on that night in Munich. And then it became embarrassing. You know, embarrassing when you lose 8-0, your first fixture in the season. But it puts a clear message out there from Bayern Munich. They're serious. They pick it up where they left it off. You know, with the Champions League final against Paris. And so they want to cruise through the Bundesliga. Probably they will do that. And they are just about trophies. They want to win as many trophies as possible. And the players still in a rhythm, didn't take any time off since the Champions League final. So it's a very, very impressive performance by Bayern.
And no surprise in the fact that Bayern won. But if you're David Wagner, you've got to be disappointed with the shift that your players put in, Jurgen.
Oh, you have to be disappointed. Obviously, you know, the coach himself, David, he cannot run on the field and play a role in there. It's what really concerned me was just they were not capable mentally to raise the bar. There was no aggressiveness in their actions. They gave them far too much space, as Craig said rightly. So when you're down 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, at least you got to have some fighting spirit out there, you know, and start to do something. You know, I don't know, get some yellow cards, do some ugly fouls, you know, interrupt the rhythm of the opponent. But they didn't do anything. You know, I mean, it could have been easily 10-12-0 at the end of the day. So this is very, very concerning. I mean, it's a difficult time now for Schalke, obviously, because of all the problems on and off the field. But if the problem's getting even bigger on the field, then that's not good news for Schalke.
Jurgen, Serge Gnabry was a young boy at Arsenal, struggled a little bit, went on loan to West Brom, struggled a little bit. And I know everybody matures at a different age, but what really changed and clicked for this young man to be putting in the performances that he has for the last 18 months or so?
Well, I think his decision to come to Munich and become part of that community in Munich and that very, very driven club was the best decision he could make. I mean, he's still developing. He's still not finished and a finished product yet. But his performances, you know, last year, also in the national team, I saw many games actually live with the national team, has been outstanding. He is a very fun character, very down to earth. And he constantly is out there to learn. And if you have players around you like Thomas Müller or Robert Lewandowski, you just kind of stare at them and you have a training session, you want to learn from them, which he's doing. So there's a lot more to come from Gnabry. I think, you know, it's good news, obviously, for the German national team that has to find a way back, you know, in the top four or six in the world after the disaster that happened in Russia with the World Cup. And Serge Gnabry is one of the big hopes for Germany.
Well, Steve Cherundolo joins us as well, former US international, still living in Germany. Steve, overall, obviously, we're going to be critical of Schalke, but this is just kind of an inevitability of the league a little bit, isn't it? The biggest team with the biggest budget with the best players are going to win matches like this as convincingly as they did.
Yeah, there is quite a big discrepancy when it comes to budgets. The bigger teams have more quality, and over a season of 34 games that is in the Bundesliga, you're going to see that quality in points and in the table. So no surprises tonight, and I think it'll be interesting to see how Bayern will be able to take this momentum throughout this long and really, really difficult season. It's going to be very taxing physically.
Yanar Fjortov also joins us as well. Jan, how does this result affect Jadon Sancho to Manchester United?
We'll probably go to Schalke.
Jan, obviously you're a big supporter of the Bundesliga. We see you support it a lot. But these games don't help particularly, do they?
No, it's embarrassing. First of all, it's embarrassing for Schalke, of course, because this was, as Craig said, early doors. I mean, how they went into this game. I mean, there could be excuses for Bayern being a very good team, taking off the pressure from Barcelona, losing 8-2 to these reigning champions. But still, it's terrible. I mean, we can make fun of it. We can say it's the treble against the trouble in Schalke. They have a lot of depth. I had them to go down this season, and I put that into yesterday, and I have proof for that. I think Schalke will big-time struggle. But as you said, Dan, for the German Bundesliga presenting themselves for the world, this is bad, bad for them. But it can't be that Bayern's going to get weaker. It's going to be the other teams getting better.
The problem I've got, and Jürgen touched on it, the problem I've got is we could have been easily talking about 12 or 13 here.
Yeah.
I've not got a problem with teams getting beat. We've all played in teams that have been beaten, right? The problem I've got is by how much this should have been. And I don't always look at managers, because as a professional footballer, when you go two or three down, or even four down like that, and you know it's going against you, you forget what the coach is saying at the side, and you reorganise on the field. Particularly if you're a midfielder or a defender, say, right, you, back here, you, extra man in midfield, you, we're leaving one up, we sit deeper. The players did nothing. They just continued in the same manner in which they started the game, thinking things were going to change. And so I've got a huge issue with that, because as highly paid professionals, you should at least say at 2 or 3-0, right, we need to block this midfield here, we need to sit a bit deeper, we need to leave one man up, and when we get a chance to break, then we can squeeze up.
Yeah.
If not, we try and deny the width, we try and deny the little ball through the middle, and we deny the space to run into behind. But they just carried on. And sometimes that's not from a coach, that's from experienced players. I've seen it in teams. You need organisers. You need people that understand the situation. And they just didn't have that. And Jan's right. On yesterday or the day before show, on this show, a couple of days ago, he said, Schalke, watch out for them. They're going to be in a relegation battle.
But he also said it's going to be 7-0. So what does he know? Got that wrong, didn't he? Jürgen, you take a look at Leroy Sané, who took advantage of that space, didn't he, very much so, particularly in the second half. What's his potential? Could we be talking about someone who could make his way into a top five player in the world?
I think he has that potential, yeah, because he has that change of pace. And the change of pace is so crucial. I mean, technically, he's very, very, very gifted. And he always has an eye for his teammates. I mean, his vision on the field, he knows where the other ones are. I mean, the kind of the blind understanding that he already develops now with Lewandowski, Thomas Müller or Nagri is outstanding. I think here we have a very, very outstanding talent coming through the ranks, you know, which still needs to grow another 2 or 3 years. But it's exciting, you know, to see a youngster like him, what he's already able to do in his early stage of his career.
Steve, when we talked about Bayern Munich, and obviously we'll talk about Thiago and that move to Liverpool, thinking, oh, you know, maybe there's a little bit of weakness there. And obviously Sané plays in a different position. But when you can bring in that sort of quality to a team that have already won the treble, it's quite extraordinary, really.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to the Bayern front office. They've done an excellent job of building this roster. You know, looking back at last season, it was kind of a year they were kind of looking to move into a new roster, a new generation, and they wound up winning the treble. It's amazing. And the scary thing about this Bayern Munich offense to me is you have four players up top of Lewandowski, Gnabry, Sané and Thomas Müller underneath, they can interchange positions, and they're all so dangerous, which makes it so difficult to defend. You don't know where it's coming from. They can all set up goals, and they can all score goals. It's just, it's the perfect mix right now.
The other one was Kimmich, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not judging it on this game, because, you know, Goretzka and Kimmich could have, you know, played the game with a pair of slippers on in the middle of that park. But, you know, clearly, Kimmich has been hearing that, well, you know, we're losing Thiago. I mean, he's a great player, but who's going to play those balls over the top? Who's going to play those quick passes into Lewandowski? Who's going to link up the play? And once again, he showed it. I mean, the opposition were poor, but we saw it last year at the end in the game against Dortmund, away from home. He scored that beautiful chip. His passing was excellent. So, you know, clearly, you know, you'd want to keep as many good players as you can in Thiago for the squad. But Joshua Kimmich is just, now that Pavard's fit again, has just slipped straight back in there alongside Goretzka and picked up where he left off.
He caught the eye for you as well, Jan.
Yeah, Kimmich is, I mean, they tried to make him into the new Philipp Lahm, and he is on his way. He can play wherever on the pitch, and then you, if they now extend the contract with David Alaba, he can play in three different positions. And mind you, there has been a bit worrying from Hansi Flick that his squad is not broad enough, with Coutinho out, Perisic out, and Thiago now out. They will have 57 games if they go all the way, plus all the national games coming up. So probably see one or two coming in. But what has impressed me with Bayern Munich as well, now they're slowly getting their youth policy ready again. And the 17-year-old scoring the 8th goal, that would mean tons for him in terms of self-confidence. And they kind of inspire each other. And like Jürgen said about Leroy Sané, thinking of coming to Bayern and play with these great players. And it's not that they are selfish. They want to score goals, but they're looking for each other. So these are team players with a great, great team spirit in Bayern at the moment.
Which is obviously, Jürgen, a dream for someone like Robert Lewandowski, 55 goals last season, already off the mark for this campaign. I suppose I'll ask you, no Ballon d'Or this year because France football, for some reason, decided to cancel it. For you, would he be a worthy winner of it in 2020?
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody agrees with that. He would deserve the Ballon d'Or. There's no doubt about it. And hopefully he has another similar season than the last one, and he gets it then, finally.
Best striker in the world for you, Steve?
I think so.
At the moment, yes.
Complete forward in the game right now, and I think he's just, you know, he's on top of his skills. He's at an age where he's physically capable to run away from defenses, and technically and tactically he's on top of everything. So he's the perfect forward.
I said to you the other day, didn't I, on the show, I said...
You say a lot.
Yeah, I know, but... You know, a year or so ago when Harry Kane was fully fit, and he always had his injuries, we used to look at Harry Kane and think, well, you know, Robert Lewandowski or Kane, and all the other big guys, who's going to go to Madrid? You know, but Kane's had his injuries, and he's a fantastic player, fantastic. But there's no doubt that this guy, who is older than Harry Kane, has absolutely raised the bar of what this generation of number nines do.
Yep.
You know, he has every attribute. He's got the physical presence for the balls in the air. He's got the understanding of when to make the right runs. His link-up play is fantastic. He'll have a fight with a defender. His finishing's great. He's got pace. And, you know, as I said the other day, I really don't think there's a comparison. Harry Kane's a fantastic player. And I used to look at the two of them and think, whoa, I'm not sure which one I would take. But I said the other day, for me, it was not even close now. Lewandowski's just raised that bar so high that the only thing that's going against him now is his age.
Meanwhile, Jürgen, we talked about Kimmich. We saw Goretzka on the score sheet today. Are you happy with him in that role in midfield? Is he good enough to carry this Bayern side?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he has those qualities, and he's a player that comes from deep, you know, always has a smell as soon as he gets close to the box and knows how to finish off things, which he showed with his goal as well. But going back to Lewandowski is really, and I think Craig made a nice comparison with Harry Kane, which I'm a big fan of because obviously I'm a former Spurs player. You're a product of your environment. And Lewandowski is in the absolute top environment, day in, day out. He's playing, you know, in a team that basically is a different level. And that makes you then drive, that makes you hungry, that makes you looking for more, you know. And now, after winning so many trophies, Lewandowski is at a point where he's not only the undoubtable leader of the Polish national team, which he has to prove then next summer in the European Championship, but also he built his status at Bayern Munich alongside all the other fantastic players there. And when you look at Harry, you know, we always, since years, you know, wish him trophies. You know, we wish him that he's kind of gets the opportunity to get to a point where, you know, he really makes a mark in world football. But he hasn't been able to do that yet because the club hasn't helped him there.
We may be talking about Spurs a little later on in the show, but let's get some more reactions, shall we, to Bayern's victory today. To be fair, Craig could have played at the back and I think could have done all right. This is what Jerome Boateng had to say.
Jerome Boateng, I think people would have expected or would have given Bayern a little bit of slack had you not started so strongly, but wow, 8-0 in your first game back after the Champions League final. That's quite something.
Yeah, I think it shows that we are, from the first day, we are hungry again. We want to win every game, and of course it was not easy. We had a really short, like, kind of pre-season, really, really short, but it was not a long break, so we were really focused today. And yeah, we did very good for the first game. Of course, 8-0 is a big result, but we know from tomorrow the result is gone and we have to work for the Super Cup.
Talk to me about your teammate Serge Gnabry, because since he's come to Bayern, he has bloomed in a way that I think a lot of people in England wouldn't have necessarily expected.
Yeah, no, he does. Like, it looks like he's getting better and better, more confident. It's very hard to defend him because he's, but with both feet, he can shoot, dribble very well. He is fast, so we are very happy to have him in our team.
Robert Lewandowski. We know him more for his goals.
Yeah.
But that assist, talk to me about it.
Yeah, I think, if of course, after the result, and we always want to have fun also in our games. We work hard, but we always want to have fun. And this was, of course, an amazing assist. And yeah, luckily Thomas made it. But like I said, tomorrow we have to look forward to the next game. And then this is the past.
Something else that caught our eye from up here was your hair colour, very striking purple. Can you explain what exactly is going on there?
It was a bet with a friend of mine who said before we started the Champions League in Portugal, he said if we will win the Champions League, I have to dye my hair purple. And he said if we don't, then he will do it. So he trusted us from the first day, so I had to do it.
How long do you have to keep it that way? What's
the
deal?
He said 2 months, so I have one more month to go.
Are you looking forward to that?
Well, we'll see. Hopefully I can survive.
And just your position at the club right now. You've got a year left on your contract, if I'm right in thinking. Do you want to stay? Are you in talks to stay longer here at Bayern?
Yeah, I feel very happy. I want to stay. I think especially after the last season and the experience with the coach, with the whole staff, with the team. And I'm at Bayern since 2011. It's like a family. So, of course, it's really hard to leave the club. I know there will be a day then when it's come, it's time. But for now, I'm super happy and I want to enjoy the time with this club and give my best to help the team.
The starting 11, and indeed those that came on, no David Alaba. What's going on there, Jan, with regards to his future at the club?
David Alaba got a year left on his contract. They've been negotiating for a while. He wants a lot of money, got an agent that wants him to get a lot of money. And suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, from the mountains of Munich, Don Corleone comes down, Uli Hoeneß, and calls his agent Piraya. So this is the way of negotiating a new contract with Alaba, who is the nicest man alive. And his father react, his agents react. And what will happen? It will happen the same thing that happened since 1977 at Bayern. Uli Hoeneß will get it his way. And I think David Alaba will sign a new contract.
Anyway, this was Bayern without two of the best players of last season, and David Alaba and Alfonso Davies, wasn't it, really? And by the way, as for Jerome Boateng, he could have went to the barbers today and had it dyed another colour and came back and it wouldn't have made a difference.
Who would dye their hair a stupid colour, eh, Craig? Who would do that in their playing days?
Well, I did mine for a bit as well. Unfortunately, it was...
You did it at the World Cup?
During a World Cup. And it didn't go down well with the coaching staff. But no, you know, the interesting thing is going to be how the other teams react to Bayern's upcoming fixtures, you know, because teams have to sit and take note of, you just can't...
But how difficult is it? Like, if you concede an early goal and it's Bayern and you look at the quality, your head's dropped.
Everybody wants to watch open attacking football and nobody wants to see teams defend deep and try and block off the wide areas and the crosses. But unfortunately, if you want to get results... You know, we saw Schalke still trying to play from the goalkeeper out in their own penalty box, 3-4-0 down. I mean, it's just crazy. So there gets a time where, unless you want a spanking off Bayern domestically, you're going to have to, if you're a weaker team in the Bundesliga, you're going to have to play a more defensive game. Otherwise, that's going to be the scenario, you know, some of the weeks.
Of course, from a neutral's point of view, you want to see a competitive league, and two teams will be hoping to push Bayern all the way this season, face off against each other in the opening round of matches tomorrow. Borussia Dortmund taking on Borussia Mönchengladbach. A lot of excitement, obviously, around Dortmund for the start of the new season, given the youth and the quality that is there, Jan.
Absolutely, and I'm so looking forward to see Bellingham. He was great in the cup game, and suddenly, Erling Haaland is the experienced player who looks after a young kid. I can't believe that. He's getting into a harder figure. But I think this is a difficult game for Dortmund tomorrow. They're playing Gladbach, who score goals for fun. I think they had 66 goals last season. Had three or four players who will get double figures in that team. But they have to answer. And that is what you're saying. They need to get better. I mean, they can't just hope and sit around to hope that Bayern get weaker, because they won't. They're just getting better and better and getting younger and younger players in as well. So Dortmund got to show it tomorrow with Bellingham, Haaland. Maybe Marco Reus is back, the captain. He came on in the cup game, scored a goal. So they got a lot of options, and they have to win against Gladbach. That's the pressure it is when you're a challenger to Bayern Munich.
And of course, of all the quality that they have, Jan, number one on their list has got to be Erling Haaland. What a potential he is. I know finally he answered your call and you were speaking to him this week.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. Well, I was talking to him. I had a good interview that we will get out these days. But Erling Haaland, very confident. He swapped his shirt from number 17 to number 9 because he said, I'm a striker. I am a number 9. I want that shirt. And I think he's confident that Dortmund will be up there, but I think there is a mental thing as well. Do you think that you can go all the way and Erling Haaland will get his goals? He scored 13 goals in half a year, and we are so excited to see him play. We're so excited to see Dortmund play. And let's hope for the excitement of the Bundesliga that Dortmund can be a tough challenger for the mighty Bayern.
He's probably rang his dad, hasn't he? Alfie Inge Haaland, and said, stop this Fjotov calling me.
And he goes, look, just answer his phone.
Every time I pick my phone up, it says Fjotov. Tell him to stop.
Meanwhile, part of that team, Jürgen, of course, Gio Reyna. He had a superb breakout season last year. It's all about now building on that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's so exciting to see such a youngster like Gio Reyna breaking through such early age in the Bundesliga. I mean, he's in a very good place there in Dortmund because they are well known for helping young players coming through. They're very patient. I think Christian Pulisic is a great example. So it will be very exciting this year to see Gio even more on the field, and hopefully he keeps developing and getting better and better and better.
Steve, how good could he be?
I think he's
had enough.
Bellingham, Gio Reyna, Jadon Sancho. I was going to call him Alf Inge Haaland. Yeah, what's his name again?
Erling Haaland. Ask Jan.
I'm back in my era now. You know, that is... The difficulty is getting the balance right with experienced players and kids. Because once the pressure comes,
right,
it can take its toll on the young players as you get into the season. That being said, Erling Haaland and certainly Jadon Sancho, to me, don't look as if they lack any confidence. Gio Reyna's a little younger, but super talented, way more talented than his dad, and his dad was a very good player. But it's just the Bundesliga, and we could talk about this today, the embarrassment of the 8-0, but what you can't take away at the moment is the platform that is given the younger players. They're getting game time. They're getting great experience. They've been given their head to go and showcase their talents and learn the game. And on top of that, they've got to try and put on a title challenge. That's not easy, so it'll be interesting to see how they go in tomorrow's match.
One man who's epitomised that is Jadon Sancho. And, of course, every time Jan is on, we've got to ask him about his future. And Jan will say, nothing has changed. October the 5th, Manchester United have to put in the money. And if they don't put in the money, he will stay. Is that about right, Jan?
Well, I've heard that. I spoke to Dortmund again yesterday. They are very, very clear. They want to keep the player. Why shouldn't they? Having said that, we had a podcast yesterday with Fabrizio Romano, who never sleeps, the man who never sleeps. And he was very clear that if Manchester United pay that 120 million euro, they will let him go. And why? Because, like Christian Falk said, a German very well connected, he said, well, there have been sport directors lying all the time. Why shouldn't they take another lie and say that he will stay? I think that Jadon Sancho will stay at Borussia Dortmund. I think that he will stay another season. And imagine next season when Mbappe, Sancho and Erling Haaland will be on the market. Do you think that we're going to talk about them then again?
Jürgen, if he rang you up and said, what do you think I should do, Mr. Klinsmann? Should I stay at Borussia Dortmund or should I move to Manchester United? What advice would you give him?
Well, I think, you know, if you are happy where you are right now, if you, you know, feel like your career is going the right direction, you're having the support of getting better and better and stronger and stronger in your process. You're still very, very young. Then, I mean, it's a question of timing, you know. When you never know, because, you know, you thought maybe for Christian Pulisic the jump came too early going to Chelsea, but he proved everybody wrong. You know, he fit in there right away and he played a very good first season. I think, you know, it's Dortmund is a good place for him right now, for Jadon Sancho. I think he is just getting better. He has already a lot of responsibility on his shoulders at a very young age. So another year or two to grow there even more, and then he can consider going wherever, in Premier League or Spain or Italy. But I would take my time if I were him.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, of course, Manchester United kick off their Premier League campaign tomorrow, taking on at Crystal Palace, delayed for a week because of their European commitments. United 3-1 on to kick off the season with a victory. You take a look at their possible starting 11, Craig. There's been a lot of speculation about who could be coming in. The one man who they did bring in, Van de Beek, expected to start ahead of Pogba. This is kind of what we're thinking, what Mark Ogden is thinking, going into the start of the new season. Do you think that works, or can you put Pogba in that midfield as well?
We don't really want to know what Mark Ogden is thinking.
Well, I'm sure whatever it be, we have a smile on his face.
To be quite frank, yeah, I don't think Pogba's fully fit, and I think he'll go, particularly it's going to be a long season. Don't want to risk players that are 75, 80% fit, because you're just going to risk injury. So you go with the guys that are ready. So for that reason, I think he'll probably leave them out. And I would expect, obviously, with the big odds, United to win. Although I think Palace, did they not win their first game of the season last year?
Yes, yeah, they did.
I think they did, but I just think Bruno Fernandes will pick up where he left off, pulling the strings in there. Obviously, new signing, Donny van de Beek will want to make a big impression. So I would be surprised if we didn't see a relatively comfortable United win.
Jan, another man on your speed dial is, of course, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. How frustrated has he been with what's been going on, or the lack of what's been going on in the transfer market over the last few weeks?
Not only the transfer market, he has had the thing with Maguire in Greece. He had now the thing with Greenwood at the press conference today. He was very annoyed at the English FA, that he asked him to rest the young kid, and then they put him in front of the media and so on. Obviously, he is desperate to get more players in, but he is a loyal guy. He's in there for a reason, because after Mourinho, they needed a good guy. They needed some of Sir Alex Ferguson's pupil. I think that internal, Ole Gunnar will be very clear on his wishes. What I'm afraid of, if they don't get in any new players, he will be the one who will be punished. They won't fire Ed Woodward for not winning games. They will fire Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So I'm certainly that he is desperate to get in a Sancho or other strengthening his team. Looking around to Liverpool now, getting Thiago, getting the Wolves striker, and what Chelsea have done, Manchester City done their business early, and he's just sitting around there. He must be so sad at the moment.
Oh, Jan mentioned it, and it is the big game this weekend. Chelsea against Liverpool on Sunday. Very good news for defending champions today, unveiling Thiago Alcantara as the latest addition to their championship-winning squad. Jurgen, how good a player is he, and how will he fit in to this Liverpool side?
Well, I mean, knowing Jurgen Klopp, I mean, he has a clear vision on how he utilizes the players. And we talked about it before in the beginning of the show, that this season will be a crazy season, especially for the top four or five teams in the individual leagues. It will be 60, 65 games to be played. So he needs to rotate, and he will rotate. So he knows exactly, you know, what spot he has available for each individual player. He knows how to handle them off the field as well. So you got to keep them content when they're not playing here and there. You got to keep the spirit of the group always positive, and Jurgen Klopp is a master in doing that. So I'm sure it's going to work out the way they envision it.
Yeah, and Liverpool fans obviously very excited about this.
Yeah, because he's a game changer. He's one of those players. If you look at his stats, this is not the guy that will make you a lot of assists like a De Bruyne or a Thomas Müller, but he is the conductor. He's the one who gets the ball. He kind of decides what is the speed going to be in the game. Somehow we always feel that he will kind of do that speeding thing out there. And he's different from all the players that Liverpool got at the moment. And that's why they brought him in. This is good business of Liverpool. They've been waiting along for this kind of guy. And we are talking about a good buy of 30 million euro. It just shows you how crazy the transfer market is. But this is a great, great signing of Liverpool Football Club.
The one thing I love about Thiago, but from a midfield perspective, is when he picks the ball up in a deeper position, the first thing he does, he looks forward. And that's really going to be invaluable for Liverpool, because when teams come out against them, when they break them down, if he gets that ball into Firmino early, because we know Firmino likes to drop off, he gets turned and all of a sudden you've got Salah and Mane running in behind, and they'll just kill you with that pace. The pace of the pass, the pace of the transition. And he's perfect for that. But Jurgen's right. Even last season, you would sit down, you knew Van Dijk was going to play, you knew Robertson and Trent Alexander and the goalkeeper were going to play, and probably the front three when fit. But you didn't always know what the midfield was going to be.
Yeah.
Because he rotated that midfield when Keita was fit, Wijnaldum, Fabinho, Henderson. He was able to rotate. Now he's got another body in there to give people a breather. And a bloody good one at that in Thiago. So it's absolutely perfect, because you know Liverpool, they're not just thinking about regaining the Premier League again. They're thinking about the big one again.
Yes.
That squad is good enough. They were disappointing against Atletico Madrid. Adrian comes in, makes a mistake. All of a sudden, they're out. You know Jurgen Klopp, with that squad he has, thinks he can go all the way again in England. It'll be difficult, particularly against Man City. And thinks he can go all the way in Europe again. And what if they do, that would be, what, three finals out of the last four. I mean, that's pretty good going.
And news breaking today that Liverpool have agreed personal terms with Diego Jota. It's now between Liverpool and Wolves to try and get a figure to get him to Anfield.
Yeah,
another good addition to the squad.
Yeah, because he can play across that front line. He can play, you know, through the middle. He can play out wide where he does most. And he's quick. And he likes to take people on. I saw him play again. I saw him play for Wolves a lot. But I saw him play really well for Portugal against a poor Croatia side in the Nations League a couple of weeks ago, where Portugal took a damn good Portugal side, by the way, particularly the front players, Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes, and Jota in there as well. And he played really, really well. So He's going to be a squad player rather than a starter, but it's another one to rotate.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, Jürgen, it'd be rude for us not to ask you about Gareth Bale, of course, making that big move for the year from Real Madrid to Tottenham Hotspur. Is this a good idea or should you never go back?
Well, he will decide that. I mean, it's exciting, obviously, for the Spurs fan because they love him. But he has a point to prove to himself. You know, what does he intend with a move back home? You know, at Spurs they're dreaming of titles. That's why Jose Mourinho came in. You know, so we expect sooner or later trophies. You know, so it all depends on Gareth's hunger. How hungry is Gareth Bale at this point in time in his career? I hope that he's very, very hungry and makes things happen. But it's only that it's really just down to him to prove the point.
Jan, to be honest, I'm a little surprised, maybe overwhelmed about the excitement around this signing from a Spurs perspective. I understand the romance in it, but this isn't the Gareth Bale that left to go to Real Madrid. This is a Gareth Bale who's coming back a little bit with his tail between his legs.
Yeah, but this is a Gareth Bale coming back to a very boring Tottenham side, a very boring Mourinho side. So that got to excite you that Gareth Bale is coming back. And let's be honest. I mean, he's been a bit ridiculed by his golfing and all his body language the last time. But he's had a great career at Real Madrid. And he's coming back to his Tottenham. That is romance, of course. And as someone wrote, and I thought that was a good thing, they looked for a replacement of Gareth Bale now for a long, long time, and finally they found one, and it's Gareth Bale. And I think that is a good thing for him to come back. It's a win-win for both of them, a boring team getting a very exciting player.
If he's fit.
Yeah, Marco reporting that he's out for a month already.
You know, we said over the last couple of days, the only thing, and Jürgen touched on it, the only thing that determines this is Gareth Bale's desire. And fitness.
Yeah, that's a thing as well. As much as he wants to play, his fitness has been terrible over the last 18 months.
Because, you know, the Bale that was strutting his stuff in the Premier League for Tottenham, and I said this to you earlier, was the Gareth Bale that was pushing for the big move. And he got it. And he had huge success. People look down on Gareth Bale sometimes, Madrid fans and others. And this guy's at Madrid won everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's been ups and downs, and there's been the time when he was there with Ronaldo when he was in the shadows and the nonsense with the golf, and that hasn't helped. But when fit and confident on the field, he's a match winner, he's a game changer. But has he still got that in him? In a, if I'm being nice, I'll say decent Tottenham side, probably more to the average. Has he still got that in him? When you look at Harry Kane, for example, during some of the Spurs games under Mourinho, and he looks despondent because they've been lumping balls up front, other teams have been dominating them, they haven't created many chances. Can he do that for them? Or is he going to become the frustrated player that we're seeing in Harry Kane? We just don't know. It's dependent on the player himself. As it always is, when anybody makes a move, Mourinho will give him the platform. It's dependent on the player's desire and ability and fitness levels to go out there. And he'll never be the player that left. He hasn't got that pace anymore. But he's still quick and he can still change a game. And hopefully he does from a Tottenham perspective.
Jürgen, has Jose Mourinho still got that magic touch that we saw in the past that saw him bring so much success to other clubs?
Well, he definitely has the knowledge. You know, I mean, if he has the magic touch, now that depends on the dressing room. It depends on the players how they handle his messages. I mean, he has all the knowledge. He proved it all over the place. It's down. I think it's really down to, and now especially with Gareth Bale, you know, it's the desire of the player that decides where do you want to go. You got to ask them in their faces, saying, "Harry Kane, how do you want to look back at your career in 5 years from now? You know, what do you want to look back at? I mean, have you won then certain titles? Gareth Bale won titles with Real Madrid. You know, but now how hungry is he? Maybe he's becoming a kind of a mentor for Harry Kane in a different role. Maybe you can utilize him differently. But they have to find that drive from the inside of the dressing room. You know, they need to decide, okay, how do we want to, you know, look back at our career? And that's what it all drives. And I hope really that Harry Kane, you know, looks in the mirror and says, you know what? I mean, I have such a tremendous, you know, potential. I've proved it on international level. Obviously, the Champions League final, reaching that a year ago was unbelievable. Blah blah blah. But you want to look back and say, you know, I want this and this in my career, because that he owns that to himself. You know, and that was the reason I left when I was 30 years old at Spurs. I had a wonderful season when I played actually against Craig when he was at Chelsea. You know, and became player of the year, but I had to leave because I didn't have the opportunity with Spurs to compete for titles. Mm. So I left. I went to Bayern Munich, and I won 3 titles in 2 years. And something is just, it's really, really important to that dressing room at Spurs. They have to determine how far they want to take it. And I think now with Gareth coming back there, I think he can actually help them a lot. Giving them a vision, giving them some leadership, giving them some direction. And if we look together, I mean, we watched this game with Schalke today, getting basically embarrassed completely. There was zero leadership. There was no character on the field that did something different after they were down 3-4, 5-0, and so on. So Jose Mourinho has all the knowledge in the world to get them to a title, but it's the dressing room that decides it, you know, how far they want to take it, how much they can suffer, how much they can sacrifice themselves for the cause. And now it's going to be an exciting Premier League season coming up, that's for sure.
Jürgen, isn't it up to him, though, as coach? Like, it's him who has to drive that dressing room, isn't it? That's his job. That's why he gets paid all those millions.
Well, obviously the manager gives the guidance. He is trying everything, you know, to keep everybody balanced, you know, to keep the chemistry positive. But at the end of the day, the manager sits out there. He cannot score goals. He cannot defend. I mean, as we saw today with Bayern Munich beating Schalke 8-0, you know, what can the manager do there? If they don't step it up, if they don't do any fouls, if they don't, you know, stay close to their marking and all these things, you're just helpless. Huh? So certainly you have an influence, especially in the English game, where you call it for that reason, you call him the manager. So meaning you have the authority to run the entire technical side of the game, you know, which in Germany is a bit different. You have their sporting directors, you have technical directors, and blah, 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 other people as well involved. They give now Hansi Flick a hand in his role as a coach. That's why they call it a coach in Germany, and it's the manager in England. Even there, I mean, Jose Mourinho can work 24/7 for the entire year. If that team doesn't decide on its own where to go, how to make it happen, how aggressive they go into every single game, then that's not his fault.
I know
you cannot blame him.
I know Jan's desperate to get in to talk about Jadon Sancho again, but just I thought Jurgen left Tottenham because Colin Calderwood was his teammate, but obviously not.
Absolutely. I had to learn another language first. Yeah,
absolutely. Look, I just think the thing with Mourinho is you know, I think he's been fighting. I don't know about if the frustration's getting the better of him, because here we have a guy that's been super successful over the years, all these clubs, but he's been fighting fires at Chelsea at the end, fighting fires at Manchester United, and he's not going to get the money that he really needs at Tottenham.
Go on, Jan.
Yeah, now I just want to say, because it's interesting to talk about what Jürgen is talking about, being the manager and being the leader of a team. What you have to ask about, you ask yourself or ourselves about Jose Mourinho is that he was, I was a great, great fan of Jose Mourinho when he came to England, how he improved a Frank Lampard or a John Terry. But you have to ask yourself, does he reach this new generation of players coming through now? That is quite interesting because you don't need this, or you need a different leadership, maybe on different times. And if you see the managers now, the trend now with an Arteta or a Lampard or a Solskjaer, and still Jurgen Klopp, very close to their players, Hansi Flick, very close to this new generation of player. My generation, I had a manager in England who said the F word 52 times at the halftime, and I know because we counted it. And this new leadership that you demand now in 2020 is different. Does Jose Mourinho still got that? And I agree with Jürgen. Yeah, it's up to the player. Jose Mourinho can't score the goals, but still, when he kind of controls the dressing room, he has to kind of send the right words, and he just have to be on the right channel as the young players of 2020.
Jürgen?
No, I agree. I mean, nowadays it's far more complex, you know, guiding a dressing room, guiding a top team in the top leagues in Europe, because this new generation, it's just they function differently. You know, we live in the age of social media. They have other interests than we had, you know, in our days. And every year seems things are changing. Every year things, you know, I have again a different type of a generation in front of me. So you got to figure out as a manager, as a coach, you got to figure out how to communicate with all these different individuals. You know, the one needs a hug, the other one needs one-on-one conversations. The other one needs maybe you need to go for a bike ride with him or have a beer with him. So it is very, very complex. Absolutely. But I still think at the end of the day, you need to have a plan as a player. Yeah, when you are a player, when I'm put myself into the shoes of Harry Kane, you know, you gotta just ask yourself every single day, you know what, this is my career. I want to win the European Championship with England. I want to win the World Cup with England. I want to win the Premier League. So once I know what I want, then I got to make up a plan. I got to come up with something. So this is what is my plan. So when I played then at Spurs, I had to kind of change my plan. I'm not winning anything with Spurs, unfortunately. We lost in the FA Cup final and semi-final. And I said, I got to move on. So I went then to Germany and won a couple of titles within 2 years. But these are the things where, you know, it's really tough for a lot of coaches and managers out there, you know, to constantly figure out how, you know, this young generation now figures things out and how they react basically on and off the field. You still, I think, going back to Jan's words, I still think there are very young, amazing leaders already out there. If you look at Joshua Kimmich, you know, who's still, I think, 20, 22, 23 years old. But he plays and he behaves like he's a 30-year-old, you know, World Cup veteran. I mean, it's amazing. So everyone is different, and you got to figure out a way how to deal with them. And it has to match, you know. The whole chemistry, the whole big puzzle in every club and every national team has to somehow find a way to get together.
I know what Jan's saying, but I honestly think that he knows Jose Mourinho how to deal with different players. A manager with that experience doesn't lose the ability to deal with a player, modern or not. But the one thing I would say, Jan, is look at the hard facts. Neither of the two teams, Manchester United or Tottenham, are good enough to be in the title race. It doesn't matter who's in there coaching these squads at the moment. I mean, he did get Man United to second place, and he said it was one of his best ever achievements. Now, you can take that as tongue-in-cheek or not. But, you know, at the end of the day, Man United are a little bit closer. But Tottenham, these clubs are miles off when you look at Liverpool, Jan, and Manchester City.
Yeah, I agree with you. But that is even more than valuable that you have the leader. I know having a go at Jose Mourinho, is one of the most successful managers of his generation. I'm just saying, and I'm just putting it on the table, the challenge now, when you've been very good at one area, you saw Arsene Wenger. Wenger was a fantastic manager for Arsenal, won everything. He revolutionized English football with the way he turned it into. And suddenly, he kind of lost it.
Was that not recruitment? Was that not more a recruitment issue at Arsenal?
It's also recruitment. Of course it is. It's the same that when but we can't say when he came there, when he took all the French players, Petit, Vieira, Henri, all the players he got there, that meant that he was a bad manager in the 90s and he just lost it. I think that in every aspect of life, being in business or in sport, there are leaders who kind of do you develop? How curious are you to develop yourself as a leader? I'm not saying Mourinho is not doing that. I'm just asking the leadership of 2005 is not the same as leadership of 2010, is not the same as leadership in 2020. And then you have to ask yourself, if you have a look at all the managers, successful managers now, there are different types of players, of managers. And back to your point, Craig, with what happening with his system and how he's played. Do you look at Tottenham now and think, wow, I see the way they want to play. They're just unsuccessful. They don't achieve what they try to do. I'm not sure that when I have a look at how Tottenham play at the moment, that I see what they try to do.
No, I agree. I'm not standing up for him. I'm just pointing out that neither of the two squads are anywhere near to Liverpool or Manchester City, which ultimately is the aim point in English football at this moment in time.
So at the second round of matches in the Premier League, same for La Liga. The first game for Real Madrid, the defending champions, away in San Sebastian against Real Sociedad.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Meanwhile, Serie A kicks off for this weekend, and once again we'll have you covered here on ESPN. The defending champions start off against Sampdoria. From a US perspective, Jürgen, eyes will be on Weston McKennie after making that big switch from Germany to Italy. How excited are you about seeing him play for a club like Juve, and can he achieve that step up?
Well, first of all, it's super exciting having Weston McKennie. We are getting that opportunity to play for Juventus. I mean, this is huge. It's also huge for American soccer to have a player in Serie A and in the biggest club in Serie A right now. So for Weston, it's a learning curve. Mm. He can only get better there. He can only learn there. He's among the best there. I mean, he's on with Cristiano Ronaldo in the same team. So every training session will make him stronger, better. Every day, you know, the way they live and breathe, you know, soccer in Italy is just insane. So he will spend a lot of days in hotels, a lot of days with the team. It's crucial that he learns Italian pretty fast. But I think it will only benefit him. He will mature a lot there. Hopefully he gets enough minutes on the field. That's my only fear, but that's down to him.
Jürgen Klinsmann, very much appreciated. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Meanwhile, action in the Championship today. Well, before we show you that, just a reminder, the Serie A schedule. As the new season kicks off, we've got you covered on ESPN+. Parma against Napoli is on ESPN2. It starts on Saturday. Fiorentina taking on Torino. But as I mentioned, the Championship also available on ESPN+. Today's game saw Coventry City take on QPR. This has turned into a bit of a five-goal thriller. Goalless as we pick up the action in the 40th minute. Penalty conceded here, just on the edge of the box. You can just see the contact.
Well, yeah. There's definitely contact with the ball, but I think he may have just taken the attacker out slightly before, but it was a close call.
Lyndon Dykes then converting from the spot to make it 1-0. That lead that would only last 3 minutes. Matt Godden making it 1-1 at the far post.
That's Lyndon Dykes is now leading the line for Scotland.
Oh, yeah. Well, God, you got to mention Scotland.
No, well, I'm just saying we're now...
Goalkeeper should have done better here, or was that just...
He wasn't anticipating it, I would imagine.
5 minutes into the second half, Callum O'Hara would make it 2-1.
Yeah. Made sure of that, didn't he, from 3 or 4 yards.
And that would be the scoreline right up until the 75th minute. Yoann Barbé making it 2-2.
Good finish. Back post. Get a touch. Just get it out your feet.
But then with 6 minutes to go, it would be Coventry who would get the winner. McFadyen making it 3-2.
How are you attack a ball?
Oof.
Looks quite... That's him that gave the penalty away as well. Made up for it.
Oh, observant, Craig.
My app said it was 2 each.
Did it?
Yeah.
You might need to update that.
I need to get a new app.
A doubleheader. Craig's Nottingham Forest in action against Cardiff City. Kick things off at 7:30, followed by Swansea City against Birmingham. Meanwhile, the Eredivisie, of course, live on ESPN Plus as well. AZ kick things off on Saturday. PSV and against Emmen then on Saturday at 2 p.m. And then Sunday final taking on Twente and then Ajax round things up at 10:45. MLS as well, available on ESPN+. Look at that. You pretty much got your whole evening sorted. It all starts with the Revs taking on NYCFC. In total, you've got 10 matches all evening, finishing with San Jose against Portland Timbers and the Galaxy play host to Colorado Rapids. Meanwhile, it's confirmed today Inter Miami have signed Gonzalo Higuain from Juventus. They've been looking, haven't they, for that star signing. Whether or not Gonzalo Higuain ticks all the boxes, we will soon find out. Higuain, then, the latest addition to Inter Miami's squad. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Jürgen, to Jan, and to Craig
everybody.
As well.
Just everybody.
And Steve as well. Yeah, Steve
yeah,
Brandler
yeah,
as well.
Forget.
Thank you very much for being with us. Stay tuned, though. We'll be answering your questions on Extra Time. Stay with us. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Jan-Arne Fjørtoft and Craig Burley.
Live Extra Time, no swearing.
It is live.
It's live, Jan.
It is live. Jürgen Klinsmann, I think, swore, didn't he? During the show, Jürgen Klinsmann swore. But
yeah.
If you won a World Cup, you're allowed to. Jan.
He didn't win a World Cup with the US.
No, but he won it with Germany as
no,
a player.
I don't know.
Does that not count? That's forgotten now. Jan, of course, still leads.
So we can do that now as well.
Jan still leads the tally of swearing.
Swear, I just did it in my first show, and then he told me the disc where it was. I never done it before.
Yeah, then you really did it in the first one.
Well, what was quite funny about Jan in the first show, he just came out, dropped a couple of expletives, and then said, oh, am I not allowed to do that on this show?
No.
So, from a man who's been in TV many years.
Can you swear in Norway, Jan, when you're on TV?
In Qatar, never in the USA.
Can you swear when you're on Norwegian TV?
No. I'm an angel. I just did it because you, Craig, made me so excited.
I have that. I have that.
Craig is a receiver of many expletives
in
his life.
I have that.
Not through excitement. Craig, could Bayern go invincible?
Yes.
Jan?
They could. I was thinking of that today. You're just wondering, could they go through the whole season? And mind you, at Bayern is anyway, there is a crisis if they lose a game, if they don't play properly. They can win all games. Having said that, it's a tight season. This we are now in middle of September when we start the season. So I think you have to maybe have one or two other players in that can give you some alternatives.
This is getting tired, isn't it, from Bayern? Oh, our squad might not be big enough. Look at the squad of the rest of the teams. No one has got depth. That's an issue for everybody. But Bayern have got quality that just exceeds everyone else in that league.
But the target of Bayern Munich is not the same as Borussia Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund will have a goal of getting closer to Bayern. Bayern wants to win the league. Bayern wants to win the cup. They want to win the Champions League. And that's their level. And that's how easy it is.
Are Bayern Munich favourites to retain their Champions League crown even with the loss of Thiago?
Yes. Yeah. But you look where the fight will come from again. The usual suspects. Barcelona going to be strong?
No, Barcelona. No. They're not usual suspects, are they?
Barcelona?
No.
Oh, right.
How would a team be a usual suspect? You beat 8-2.
No, I meant like over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, but it's a different team, isn't it?
No, I know, and that's why I was just about to rule them out before you ignorantly jumped in. But, you know, Liverpool, I would imagine, and City again. I mean, City has to be a big goal. It's a huge goal for them, and it will be dependent on signings. But absolutely, yes, they are currently the best balanced team in Europe.
Craig says they're favourites.
They're short of players, though.
Short of players. Jan, Bayern, favourites?
Well, they're short of players. No, Craig, I'm just kidding. yes. No, but I think that the main a good word there from Craig saying that the balance in the team, not only we were talking earlier today in the show about Jerome Boateng, 1 year left of his contract. There are need, there are lack of centre halves. I mean, now he's getting into great form. Süle, today Hernandez played left back. They bought him for like 75 million euro and they didn't use him last year. And on a day when Liverpool announced Thiago, just remember, he's a great, great signing for Liverpool, but imagine he couldn't get into the starting 11 of Bayern. He did in the Champions League tournament in Lisboa, but they have a great, great balance in the team in terms of youth, in terms of experience with Lewandowski, Neuer, with Müller, and they got these young kids coming through as well. And Sané today, brilliant, and he linked up straight away. So I think they are the most balanced team in the world at the moment, and that makes them favourite for me, yes.
What made that noise there, Jan? On your computer, iPad, what was it?
I got a mail from Jürgen Klinsmann saying that Jose Mourinho will do well for Tottenham.
Oh, yeah?
Is Alfie Haaland again saying...
Is that restraining order?
A restraining order on my son. how did you eat that German stuff for lunch earlier? What was it?
It was nice. We had some German... To celebrate the start of the Bundesliga, we had... What do we have? Like the big sausage.
So, Braten, yeah. What? What do you call
Bratwurst?
It?
Bratwurst.
Yeah, and a couple of other
Are
things.
You supposed to have it cold, Jan?
No.
It was horrible. It was cold. He ate it for
it
lunch.
It was nice. I liked it.
I went to the calf and bought something.
What did you get from the calf?
A wrap.
What did you have in your wrap?
But Dan, I have never—I don't think I've met you, Dan, and I can only see half of you. If you keep eating bratwurst before every Bundesliga round, you will have trouble with your body, my friend.
That'd be all right.
It won't. Might make him a bit tough. Is that him actually stood up? That's him. Yeah, and that's him standing up. Trust me.
It's sad but true.
What's the local dish in Norway? I've been there. I should know.
Fish, isn't
salmon.
It?
Salmon.
Yeah.
But when you, Craig, were here, you were probably very expensive beer because alcohol is unbelievably expensive in Norway.
How expensive is it, Jan? How much is a pint?
A pint will be £10.
£10? So that's about $13.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah, it's not. Well, it's a deterrent.
But Stevie would not like that, would he?
Stevie would row a boat to Scotland and then they would come back with like a cachet of...
Craig, anyone care to revise their Liverpool pick aren't winning the title now with Thiago and Jota incoming?
No,
you're sticking with City?
Yeah. We're not allowed to revise.
Of course you can.
Although Frank Leboeuf...
You can revise.
It's been a long day. Frank Leboeuf I don't know if you've noticed, whenever he's on the show, is trying to cover his tracks.
Because he had Chelsea second.
Something chronic, because he keeps saying in every show, well, as I said at the time, before they signed these players, I had... So he's already covering these tracks.
Right.
I think there's two great signings, but City are not going away.
Right.
They're just not going to go away. So, no, I'm OK where I am.
Jan, I can't remember who you picked.
I picked Liverpool, but I think the Manchester City will be very, very tight. And
okay.
They'll be away from the rest.
Jan, what's
picked Solskjaer for Manager of the Year.
Yeah, he did. And if Solskjaer doesn't get the results, it's definitely not his fault. It's because he has
not
back from Woodward.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's quite interesting. I'm not saying that because he's Norwegian. Because if you have managers who are very, very kind, sorry, you don't get a reward for being kind, because the fans want players in.
Mm.
And if they feel he's a part of the leadership, he will be the one who will be blamed at the end.
I'll
tell you what, the only decent man... Here's how crazy they are. The only decent... I say only. I'm being very generic. The only decent manager that came out of Norway used to wear Wellington boots.
Exactly.
Egil Olsen.
Egil Olsen took us to the World Cup in USA.
He was,
thank you.
You don't remember him?
No.
At Wimbledon. He was absolutely nuts.
And he wore Wellington boots?
Is that true?
What do you call Wellington boots in the US?
I have no idea.
Maybe someone can tell me.
Wellington boots, the boots that waterproof that come up to your knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think they've all left.
Or in your case, your hips.
Yes.
You call them waders.
Mine are pretty women.
You call them
pretty
waders.
Woman like
waders. Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Ronnie Delia, that's another one.
What's it like to have uncertainty, Jan, around your future in the club even after the season has begun? Do the crew have any familiar experience?
I think when you play in England, it's always a chance that people will go or come. I was amazed when I came to England. Suddenly they turned up all kind of players in the dressing room. I remember I came to Swindon Town and John Gorman, Glenn Hoddle just left, going to Chelsea, of course, as Craig knows. And we started off being the youngest team in the Premier League, and we ended up with the oldest team since 1879. It was Brian Kilcline, it was Terry Fenwick, it was Neil Webb, it was Frank McAvaney. They just came and they were just coming. And I think that is a part of the game. And it's also a bit exciting. Maybe a big club will be in for you, and maybe a big Gaelic club will be in for you. So the players are used to that, so I don't think that is a big problem.
You don't want to meet Brian Kilcline in a dark alley?
No, is he scary?
Mm.
Living in his boat. Where do you live? I live different places. What do you mean you live different places? Yeah, well, I live in a boat. Thank you, killer.
But it can be quite unsettling to some players. I mean, when I was at Celtic, and I kind of knew that I was leaving in my third season, when the management changed, the ownership of the club changed, the chief executive changed, Kenny Dalglish came in, John Barnes came in, some players that I'd played with the previous 2 years and we'd had some great success, was been offered new contracts.
Right.
To tie them down, and I never got the old come to the office.
Okay.
And I was like, oh.
Right.
Oh. And as you know, I did well there, but...
Weren't you Scottish Football Writers Player of the Year, Craig, which you mentioned on a daily basis?
I don't
basis.
Mention it on a daily basis, right. So, from that sense, going from the success to thinking the management don't fancy you or the club need to get money in, which was another part of the reason, and when it dragged on for 2 or 3 months, you're just thinking, right, I'm playing, but knowing by Christmas I'm probably going to be gone, and I was gone in December to Derby County with Jim. And so it kind of subconsciously can affect your performances.
Right.
Without knowing it, because you kind of know you're going to leave. Go on, Jan.
No, I'm just saying that. I think that is that interesting. How do you react on that? I mean, you can attack it, or you can start be sloppy in training. I got my young son, or my son, he's not that young, up in Scotland at the moment, not playing at the moment. And then you just have to tell them, you have to coach these guys to say the only one you let yourself down. You can't be mad at a manager or the club or whatever. And I think that, Craig, when you are in that situation as you were, if you let yourself down in training for Celtic, then going to Derby, you kind of you don't prepare yourself for the next move. So I think that the main thing, at least I did when I had trouble with my managers, I had a Middlesbrough, they brought in Fabrizio Ravanelli, we played with one player up front, and I knew that I'll be gone, but still I had to attack, I had to train even harder, because if I got a move now, I have to be straight there when I come to a new club. So I think that it's also a mental thing that you have to be well prepared for moving as well.
We used to make a laugh of it. It's quite funny actually, because you know they wanted to make this move Celtic for another player, and they needed the money because it was 5 million to bring this Brazilian in, who I won't mention his name, but wasn't very good, and because his name's almost an expletive.
Oh really?
Rafi, I can't say it.
You got us intrigued now.
Well, you can look it up.
Yeah, who is it?
Yeah, who is it?
Rafael Scheid.
There you go, that's not expletive.
Well, it can be used.
Rafael Scheid.
Is that swearing?
Well, no, but sorry, they wanted to bring him in.
It is after a couple of pints.
Yeah, they wanted to bring him in, but it was too expensive to shell out 5 million or 5.5, so they had to get 3 million for me, which they did, to bridge the gap.
But because you were Scottish Writers' Player of the Year.
It took a while for this to happen, and every day Kenny Dalglish was getting frustrated, and every day I walked in the dressing room, and the boys would all be there because they'd be shouting, "Are you still here?" And at the top of my voice, I used to go, "Yeah, I'm still here, Kenny." And so you sort of just made a laugh of it, and if you've got a good dressing room, that can happen.
Okay. What's something younger football fans don't appreciate?
Something younger football fans don't appreciate.
Surely how much football you can watch now. Like even when I was growing up, you relied on Teletext and CFAX for your results. Now...
Teletext. My dad's still doing that. My dad is 77. He's a football fan, big time, following every league with his iPad. And when he's finished with his iPad, he go into Teletext. And you know the pages, we remember the pages, where did we find the results and everything. And I think that I don't think they appreciate how unbelievably good the pitches are. I mean, right. Back in the days, in the middle of the season, I mean, terrible pitches. And I don't think they understand that, how fantastic the pitches are now.
Difference in it. Stevie talks about that as well.
Yeah. No. Listen, if you got to a game and the pitch was immaculate, you couldn't stop talking about it.
Right.
In fact, the only time it happened, really, in my memory, was if you got to Wembley.
Right.
You used to go Wembley.
Highbury, Craig?
Well, I've played at Highbury, Jan, and it's been cut up. Selhurst Park, where at Crystal Palace, and Wimbledon used to play there, so there was two teams playing there. The pitch was bad enough when only one team was playing there. That was horrendous. I played in an FA Cup quarter final there. Robbie Errol was playing for Wimbledon. There was not a blade of grass. And Joe Kinnear had got the fire brigade to water it before it, because he thought, "I'm going to stuff Chelsea here," thinking they're coming here passing the ball. And we got there and we were like, "Holy smokes!" Not only is there no grass, but you sink about 6 inches down. So yeah, I mean, you go to the Emirates now and places like that, to, you know, and you look at the pitch and you go, "Oh my God!" You could lift it up and put it in the lounge of your house.
Right.
It's immaculate.
Why would you put it in the lounge of your house?
Because it looks like a carpet.
Oh, okay.
Do I need to explain everything to you?
I learned a word, immaculate. I have to learn.
Immaculate, yeah.
Immaculate,
look at that.
Jan. Like me, I'm the only one with a tie on today. Oh. That's immaculate.
Yeah, but look at my shirt. It's like, I think it's okay.
I tell you what, you know what they say about the Norwegian dress sense? Mm.
But the British fashion is, to be fair to Great Britain, is well known all over the world. There are so many great designers from UK, so thank you.
Last point. Jan, who would you have, Lukaku or Immobile?
Ooh. Depends how you want to play the game.
No,
I would say.
You've only got one to pick.
That's a Gab Marcotti answer.
Yeah.
Immobile. I want goals. Goals. And I think he will score more goals on average, although Lukaku was very, very good this season, but I would go for Immobile because he will always get you goals.
Craig?
Yep.
That's it.
Natural goals.
Goodness me, we've been here a long time.
Did we get paid extra?
Definitely not. And then we're going to have to do more for other people now, won't we? Our producer will say, and you'll go, oh.
Oh, I'll kill him.
Yep.
If my producer says there's more segments...
He will definitely say there's
I
more
will
segments.
Self-combobulate.
That is it. Thank you very much, as always, for watching ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.